We mentioned the sermon in the very beginning of our worship time today. We started off with that scripture in the second chapter of Luke's gospel. The title you see is Simeon and His Secret. And most of you, if you continue reading in Luke's gospel of the Christmas story, you read this story, information about this man Simeon. We'll read that scripture in Luke 2, 21 through 35 in just a few moments. But today, just looking back on Christmas Eve and looking back on Christmas Day, I pray that it was a time with family or friends or both, and that most of all that Jesus was the center and the purpose of your day and your celebration. A lot of times we go through Christmas Day and it's kind of like, well, what's next? And I would just ask you this. Are you more thrilled with Jesus? Are you more motivated? Are you more dedicated to serve Christ with all your heart and to know His will and to obediently follow Him with all your heart? How many of you remember, you go along the title of this sermon, Simeon His Secret, how many of you remember an old TV show that started in the late 1950s? It was hosted by a guy named Gary Moore, and it was called I've Got a Secret. I'm just curious, how many of you remember that show? We've got a few of you in here old enough to remember that show. There were a group of regulars that made up the panel of that show. And this group of regulars, that they would try to guess the secret of each contestant. That panel was made up of a fellow named Bill Cullen, Henry Morgan, Faye Emerson, and actress Jane Meadows. The show began in the late 1950s. And on each episode, there would be guests that were, some of them would be weird, and some of them would be fabulous, and some of them would be laughable or unusual. All of them had secrets. And the goal was for this panel to figure out what the secret was. And so each time a guest would come on, then they would come out and introduce themselves, and they would whisper into Gary Moore's ear what their secret was. And then the folks watching on TV, they were shown on TV what the secret was, but of course the panel had no idea. And then the panel would begin to ask questions, but they could only ask questions that could be answered with a yes or no answer. They couldn't ask other questions other than that. Some of the more notable people that were on that show that had secrets included Colonel Harlan Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken fame, who stated on that show, I started my restaurant with my first Social Security check. Another one that was famous was a guy named Philo Farnsworth. Now, a lot of you don't remember Philo Farnsworth, but Philo Farnsworth was the founder of a company called Philco Television. And on this I've Got a Secret program, he said, I invented electronic television. There was also a fellow that was on the show. His name, he was an elderly man, very old. His name was Samuel J. Seymour. Now, keep in mind, this is the late 1950s. Samuel J. Seymour was the last surviving eyewitness to Abraham Lincoln's assassination. He was 5 years old that night in the theater when Lincoln was assassinated. Lots of interesting secrets. But I tell you, there's a man that we're going to talk about today, Simeon. He's a man in the Bible that he held a secret in his mind and his heart. He held that secret there that had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to take a look at his story for a minute, but let's begin with the scripture text in Luke's gospel, chapter 2, begin reading with verse 21 through 35. And when the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the laws of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the Christ child to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken, for which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We'll take a minute today and let's examine and look at who exactly is this man, Simeon. Simeon, the Bible describes in Scripture, it says that he was a devout man. And it also says that he was a just man. Devout, you know, somebody being called devout, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? What does it really mean? It means warmly devoted. It means sincere. In fact, the word devout is used in the Bible to describe some other Bible characters such as Stephen and Cornelius and Ananias. The Jews of the day of Pentecost were all described as devout men. Well, in this description of Simeon as a devout man, the Bible says that he was waiting for the Savior, with this expression, waiting for the consolation of Israel. We're told also, it's very important, we're told that the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Christ before he died. You know, when you draw close to God, then you naturally long for the things of God. As you draw close to Him, His Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you. His Holy Spirit will teach you of the things of the Spirit. When Jesus' parents brought Christ into that temple for dedication, we learned that the Holy Spirit led Simeon into the temple on the very same day, at the very same moment that his parents were there. So as we examine this portrait of Simeon, it's a portrait of a man that God could trust with a secret. Let me ask you, does the Holy Spirit ever reveal things to you? Is your heart and spirit so in tune with the Holy Spirit so that you can hear that soft, gentle voice? You can feel that urging and direction of the Spirit every day in your living. Does the Holy Spirit give you the needed direction and guidance that we all need for our lives? It's indeed God's will. It's God's plan for all of us that have trusted in Christ as our Savior. It's His will and plan that we would all be led by the Spirit to receive instruction and guidance for our lives. So Mary and Joseph, they come into that temple. And here's this man, Simeon. He's there and he comes up to Mary and Joseph and lovingly takes baby Jesus up in his arms. And as he does so, and then he begins to bless God. And he begins to bless God with this beautiful prayer. It's the prayer of Simeon. We read it earlier in Luke 2 and 29. He says, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. Can you just imagine the joy and the fulfillment that Simeon felt at that very moment when he saw that couple and that baby, and the Holy Spirit revealed to him immediately, that's him. That baby is the one. That's the Christ. That's the Messiah. And now he's holding that child. He's saying, Lord, you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation. This is important. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. It's a beautiful prayer that's recognizing that baby Jesus was the prophesied and promised one, the Messiah, God's salvation, a light to the world, not just to the Jews only, but to the Jews and the Gentiles. We know this. Jesus wasn't just King of the Jews. Yes, he was their promised Messiah, but he was God's gift to all men over the world. It was true then, and it's still true today. Literally 40 days after Christ was born, God is declaring through this man, Simeon, this just and devout man, he's declaring through him that the Savior didn't only come to bless the descendants of Abraham, the Jews, but that the promised one, the Savior, had come for the whole world, for the Jews and the Gentiles. It's been a truth then, and it's still a truth today. It's a truth that a lot of Christians and Jews still struggle with. But if you examine this truth throughout the New Testament, we see this truth affirmed and revealed. For example, God gave this incredible vision to Peter. And then Peter was called to the house of Cornelius. Normally a Jew would never go into the home of a Gentile, but here is Peter, because of the revelation, the vision that God has given him. He goes to this home of Cornelius, and he sees Cornelius, a Gentile, and all his family all get saved when they heard the preaching of the gospel, and all of them get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, all in the home of Cornelius. It was bringing forth that revelation, making it true to all that were there at that time. We also see other evidence of this truth of Christ coming for everybody. We see Paul and Barnabas ministering to the Gentiles in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. And as they minister to the Gentiles, they're quoting the word of God in Isaiah 42 and 6 and in Isaiah 49 and 6, which says, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be salvation to the ends of the earth. Oh, I praise God for the missions emphasis of this church. I praise God for the heart toward our missionaries to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, because Jesus is coming back. You might have seen the sign. We changed the sign up. I changed it up this weekend. It says, Jesus return policy. You know, all these stores have return policy. Everybody's taking stuff back now that Christmas is over. And it says, Jesus return policy, 100%. He's coming back. It's 100% true. He's coming back for you and for me, praise God. Only by the Holy Spirit revelation did this devout Jewish man, this man Simeon, come to the understanding that Christ had come for everyone, that all who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ would be saved. What a prayer he prayed. Didn't we look at, there he is holding up that baby child. Can you just see him holding that child up and making that prayer, lifting his mind and his heart up to the Lord? The prophecy of Simeon. The Bible in our scripture text says in verse 33 that Joseph and his mother marveled at those things that Simeon said. Now, by the way, did you notice that in Luke's gospel, it didn't say the mother and father. It said Joseph and his mother. Who was that baby's father? It was our Heavenly Father. It was God. God was the father of that baby. Mary had carried that baby in her womb and brought him into the world, but God was his father. And Simeon turns to them. He knows this truth. He turns to that couple. He blesses them. And he says to Mary, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. What is Simeon saying? He's saying to this young mother that the tiny baby that she is holding will be a stumbling block for many, and he'd be the source of the rising and the blessing of the disciples and others who believed in him. Then Simeon continues his prophetic word as he describes the Christ child. He says, a sign which shall be spoken against. This mother's holding this little baby, and he's looking at that baby, and he said, that baby that you're holding is going to be a sign that will be spoken against. Jesus was a sign from God. Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecies for the Messiah and our Savior who would be spoken against, meaning rejected by many folks. He was rejected by many when he was born. He was rejected by many when he was going about this earth doing good and performing miracles. And sadly, we still see the truth of that prophecy today. The Christmas story is for all to know and to receive by faith. Yet it is rejected by so many. Our Lord's star, that same star that so brightly shined that Christmas night, was the promise of peace to the world if the world would just believe and trust in Jesus. But having rejected Jesus Christ, who's the Prince of Peace, there's no peace in the world. I was talking earlier this morning with Coy Watkins. We were talking about how that when President Trump and Israel had come into a negotiated peace with Hamas that resulted in the releasing of all the live hostages and as well as all the dead ones, though it's reported there's still one dead hostage that's not been released. As part of that peace, many people were saying, oh, this is wonderful. We now are going to have peace in the Middle East. That's not true. I mean, it's a great ideal, it's a great vision, it's a great plan, it's a great objective. But are you aware that Hamas is now refusing to lay down their arms? Hamas is refusing to give up their places, their tunnels where they have control. They're still continuing to act as if they are in control of Gaza, totally against what the peace agreement, part two of that agreement, called for. As great as a vision and desire as that may have been, I will tell you and anyone that'll listen, and I hope you might agree with this, there will never be peace in Israel and in the Middle East until the Prince of Peace comes back to this earth. Because when Jesus comes back, there will be true peace in the Middle East and on the earth. Rejecting the Prince of Peace, the world still does it. Folks still reject the Savior, the Messiah. Some years ago, there were two young women that signed Hollywood movie contracts at the same time. And both were determined to become big stars in Hollywood. One of those two women was this lady named Colleen Townsend. Colleen Townsend was groomed by Hollywood to help her just be famous and to be a great actress and to star in movies. And she was on the cover of Life magazine and all these other magazines, all because Hollywood wanted to promote her. Some of her movies early in her career, one was called When Willie Comes Marching Home. It was a big hit at the end of World War II. Another was called Again Pioneers. But right just a few years after signing that contract with Hollywood, Colleen Townsend gave her heart to Jesus and was gloriously saved. And she married a Presbyterian ministerial candidate who was still in seminary at that time. His name was Lewis H. Evans. And Lewis H. Evans and Colleen Townsend, after they got married and he graduated from seminary, they started a church in their home together. They started a church together that was called Bel Air Presbyterian Church. And today in the Los Angeles area, that church, Bel Air Presbyterian Church, still exists, and it's the largest Presbyterian church in the area. Now, the other actress on the very same time that Colleen Townsend signed her contract was this lady. You recognize her, it's Marilyn Monroe. It's quite a contrast in the early part of her career and the latter part of her career. They really look like almost two different women, don't they? Marilyn Monroe ascended in the movie world And of course, she became the sex symbol of Hollywood. Marilyn Monroe was married several times. A few years later, these two young women, Marilyn Monroe and Colleen Townsend, they met each other. And Marilyn Monroe said to Colleen, she said these words, "When I first signed that contract, I was determined to be a star. Whatever it cost me, whatever I had to do. My dream has been fulfilled, but I have paid too much for what I've gotten. I am the most miserable and unhappy person in the world." Those were the words of Marilyn Monroe to Colleen Townsend. And as you know, one night, poor Marilyn Monroe ended her life while Colleen Townsend continued to live a life of faith and service to her Lord and Savior. Colleen Townsend was married over 58 years to her minister husband, and he since has gone to heaven. But you know that Colleen Townsend is now 97 years old, and she's still alive, living in Fresno, California. Amazing. In fact, Colleen Townsend was the first female chair of a Billy Graham crusade in 1986. It makes all the difference in the world as to what you do with Jesus, doesn't it? It makes all the difference in the world. If you reject Him, it can never lead to a life of peace and happiness. Oh, but when you receive Him and you live for Him, what an incredible life it is. Well, back to our story about Simeon. Simeon, he's now speaking directly to Mary as he's holding that little baby, and he says, "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." This is a very personal message to Mary, telling this young mother that her heart would someday be pierced with grief when her son would one day die a cruel death for all to see. Can you imagine telling, just a few weeks after a baby's been born, telling this mother that news? Can you imagine what it's like for that mother holding that little child, only 40 days old, and this man of God, this devout and just man, saying to you that there's a message from God coming. It's related to your baby, and it's going to break your heart, and many people are going to reject Him. What a word to a young mother, a very young mother. Mary and Joseph, think about it. Mary and Joseph had come into the temple, as many young Jewish couples would do according to their custom and laws. They'd done it for ages. That was to dedicate a newborn son and to give an offering of a pair of turtle doves or young pigeons as a sacrifice for the mother's purification. You see, Mary and Joseph were too poor to give a lamb, which was the primary goal. But if you were too poor to give a lamb, then you could give a pair of turtle doves or pigeons. But on this day when they're in the temple, God has a purpose again. His purpose is to remind Mary and Joseph that their child is no ordinary child. And the message is the message of the entire Word of God, the entire Bible. It's the message of a death on a cruel cross as the Lamb of God came to give His life to redeem us and to save us. Praise God that He did. Mary and Joseph, that day in that temple, they learned that their child, the Messiah, didn't just come to be born, but that He came to die. His death was planned before the foundation of the world. When Jesus was dying on the cross, God laid on Him all of your sins and my sins. But because of that cross and His glorious resurrection, God can look down on us when we repent and speak into our minds and hearts and say, "I forgive you. I forgive you. The price was paid that day on Calvary. I forgive you." Well, before Joseph and Mary left the temple, God had one more affirmation. You know, God loves to just affirm things in us, doesn't He? He knows how badly we need that affirmation at times to believe. You ever found that to be true? God will just keep pouring things into your life to affirm His plans, His purpose, His goals. Well, He had one more affirmation for Joseph and Mary before they left that temple. The Bible says that there was an 84-year-old widow. Her name was Anna. And she happened to be in that temple at that time. In fact, the Bible tells us that Anna did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day in the temple. Now that's commitment, isn't it? She was present in the temple that instant that Jesus was presented to God by those parents. And after Simeon had prayed and given his prophecy, before they left, the Bible says that Anna comes up to Mary and Joseph and spoke of the baby as the promised Messiah. How did she know that? Because the Holy Spirit had revealed it to her. Spoke of the baby as the promised Messiah and as the one who had finally come to those looking for redemption in Jerusalem and Israel. So once again, this young couple, Mary and Joseph, received another confirmation that their son was no ordinary son. Oh, that their son was the Son of God. This Christmas season, you can be assured that Jesus Christ is here with us right now, today. He's here to give us hope. He's here to forgive us of our sins. He's here to give us a new song. He's here to impart faith and to heal our physical and our spiritual and emotional wounds if we will just let Him. Are you living close enough to God to know God's secrets? Are you living close enough to Jesus? Are you living close enough to Jesus to be aware of His plans for you? Are you living in the power of the Holy Spirit with an ear to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you? James 4 and 8 tells us, draw near to God. What else does it say? You know what it says. And He will draw near to you. Then in that same chapter in verse 10, He goes on to say, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. What a great promise that is. I close this message this morning with two contrasting pictures. The captain of a whaling vessel attended a church in New England. And after the service, someone came up to that captain of that whaling vessel and just asked him what his impression was, what impression this worship service had had upon him. And he replied, he said, no impression at all. The service made no impression upon me. As the congregation sang and as the pastor preached, I was thinking about something else. I was thinking about where I could find my next whale. There is no room in my heart for anything but my business and my whales. And then the other picture. An old minister lay dying. His house was near the church where he had ministered and worshiped most of his life. And on Sunday morning, as the church bells rang, he raised his head from his bed and he whispered and he said, I want. And the people there leaned closer so they could hear what he was saying. And the old man of God whispered, I want to worship God. I want to worship God. I'll tell you, friends, I want to draw as close to Jesus as I can while I make my way in this world. And someday when I meet Him in heaven with nothing between us, I want to bow down before Him and worship Him forever and forever.